See, now where are we at tonight? Okay. We have a new toy at the church. And it's easy to get wrapped up in it. Okay, we are in the book of Genesis, okay, chapter 3. We got through the first part of the chapter. And God was dealing with the woman. In verse 15, he told her, I will put enmity, I will put a hatred, a fear between thee and the woman, talking to the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed, it, talking about in the future the Lord Jesus Christ, it shall bruise thy head. In other words, it will be fatal for you. And it said, you shall bruise his heel. Very insignificant, which really wasn't insignificant. The cross was a horrible thing to bear. But that was the prophecy of what would happen between the serpent and the woman. Now, I know a lot of women are very much afraid of snakes. There are some men who are very much afraid of snakes. I watched a cat that had kittens under one of our buildings. She had six kittens and a Western Diamond, about a 6.5 foot Western Diamondback rattlesnake went after those kittens. And that cat got between that rattlesnake and her kittens. And she fought that snake. Now, she didn't kill it. It didn't kill her. It never, every time it would strike at her, boy, she was, you know, in the air, gone. But until the snake just got tired and turned around and went away. So, you know, even a lady man is able to defend against the wiles of the devil if they try. So here we are at verse 16, and this is to the woman. This is God addressing the woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. We heard that this morning in Sunday school. I don't know if you picked up on it, but it was addressed. The fact that there is a penalty. The woman disobeyed God. The woman went against God's will and God's direct orders. The man abandoned what God had said to him for the favor of the woman. He's going to pay a price too. But the woman's price is going to be paid throughout all time, and it still applies today. It's not fun to have a baby. It's not something you do for a recreational activity. At least any ladies I know. And that is part of the curse for not obeying God. It's written right here. That's the penalty. Now, in verse 6 of this chapter, chapter 3, a horrible change takes place across the face of the world, across the face of the entire universe. prior to that verse, and let me go back and reread that verse. And it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat." At that moment, sin entered the world. And I told you last Sunday night, at that moment, death entered the world. Disease entered the world. Illness entered the world. A lot of laws of thermodynamics, that everything is now in a state of deterioration, entered the world and began. And they're still going today. That was the penalty. That was the result of one sin. Simply taking a bite out of a piece of fruit that God said, "You shall not eat it." And Adam and Eve would still be alive today if they had never sinned. We might be alive too. Would be. Man, wouldn't that be something? Adam, how old are you now? Well, let's see, I'm 6,000 and... Yeah. He'd be an old guy. Everything changed at that moment. God had made it perfect. God had made it good. God had seen that it was good. But from that moment on, it was not good. Things were really, really went downhill. At that moment, when Adam and Eve bit into that piece of fruit, forbidden fruit, their souls died. Their souls died. Dead as a doornail. If they had died at that moment, they wouldn't have gone to heaven. They'd have gone to hell. It already was existing. God made it when he created the world. Hell is in the center of this earth. For now. It's going to change a little bit later. So, suddenly both began to age. Ladies, you think you got wrinkles? Didn't have any wrinkles before that. Suddenly both began to age, and everything on earth began to age. Everything on earth began to deteriorate. Plants started dying, as well as animals. Diseases began to break out, like the coronavirus. Everything kicked in, all the laws of nature. And there were going to be consequences for the individuals involved in the early sin also. God held the woman to be the guiltiest. God held the woman to be the guiltiest. There would be lasting reminders for the woman that they had brought sin into the world. The woman was going to have a lot of sorrow. Not just sorrow in childbirth, but sorrow in watching the kids grow up and make mistakes and make costly mistakes and do things that you knew was going to hurt them. And maybe hurt people around them. There was going to be the sorrow of losing a loved one. None of this existed before they committed that first sin. It altered everything. There would be sorrow in the loss of children prematurely. There would be concern for the child during illness. The woman was going to have sorrow. Men do not experience sorrow like women do. And it's not because they're tougher. It's because they're made different. There would be one other source of sorrow, and that would be the relationship with a man, or men in general, for the woman. Man was going to become a problem for the woman. And they still are today. They are. And it's all your fault. It's all your fault. Man would have authority over the woman for centuries, for millennia. Men controlled the woman. A woman was nothing more than a chattel for most men for almost 4,000 years. And there are some areas of the world today where women are still nothing more than a chattel, a position, a possession for the men. I took Connie with me to Saudi Arabia in the 1970s. I think it was 70s, wasn't it? 80? If she was not with me, walking down the street of the capital of Saudi Arabia, she had to walk in the road in traffic. They could not walk on the sidewalks. Only the men could walk on the sidewalks. That's right, isn't it? Women couldn't drive. They started driving this year in Saudi Arabia. First time. They didn't have a vote. They couldn't say anything about it. The matawas would go around, they'd have a piece of bamboo about this long, and if a woman got up on the sidewalk in a man's place, oh, they'd get beaten with that piece of bamboo till they got off the sidewalk, got out in the street. Just a chattel. And it's all a result. It all goes back to Eve, to this place here in Genesis. So the situation for women has not been equal when it comes to pay, to authority, until recently. Now I don't want to use the word rebellion, but that probably comes closest to what has happened among women. They have rebelled against the men, against the government. They have insisted we have all the same rights that they have, you know, and constitutionally they do. But they did not even have suffrage until 1927. Think of that. Almost 150 years this nation existed, and women had no say as to what was going on in it. So it's just been recently when things have started to change, and they're not changing to what God wanted. They're changing to the ways of the world. During Apostle Paul's day, women were not permitted to take certain actions in church. And I want to read you. This is in the New Testament, folks. Now, this has been modified. I'm not saying this is what we're doing today, but I want you to understand what God said or what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:34. Now, listen to this. How many of you know what that says? All right. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. That's what God said during that time. Now, there has been some changes. Let me give you another one. 1 Timothy 2:11-15. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity, or love, and holiness, with sobriety. If the woman is saved, that's a whole different thing. And today, we recognize women as being on an equal par in God's sight with men. We do. We're not any better than you are. We're not any worse. One thing we don't gossip as much, but well, maybe just a little bit, but No, it really made a big difference. That first sin. When any of us, you, me, any of us, when any of us sin, we affect the people around us. We may not realize it. We may not see how we affect them, but we do. And Eve affected the entire human race. Under the law of Christ, things are different. In the sight of God, everyone is equal. That's what changed. Finally, we understood what the scripture was saying. A particular part of it is Romans 10, verses 12 and 13. Let me read those. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. Now that also applies to the man and the woman. There is no difference. Just like there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or the Jew and the Gentile, in the sight of God, when they call upon him for salvation, they're going to get it. And you ladies, when you called out to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God for salvation, God saved you. He took away your sin. He caused you to be born again. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what you ladies did. The moment you did that, you are on the same par with man. Now, this verse includes no difference between the man and the woman. God responds to both with his love, and he makes salvation available to both equally. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. And unto Adam, Okay, you ladies don't listen to this. Okay. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. The man was going to have to work to provide for his family. Now, men are supposed to sweat to provide for their family. That's all except for pastors. Pastors are not supposed to sweat, okay? That's not true. Now, men were going to have to put forth effort to accomplish what had to be accomplished to provide for their families. Now, next Sunday, we'll look at the four aspects of who the Bible was written to. I don't know if you realize this. The Bible was actually written to four different groups. It was written to the individual. That's us as individuals. It was also, portions of it were written to the family. And so we have to rightly divide. And then a portion of it was written to society overall. And a portion of it is even actually written to the government. You may be right. But those are the four groups that the Bible was written to. And when it tells us in Timothy, you study to show yourselves approved, a workman which needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that's what we have to divide. We have to decide, is this written to me? Or to us? Or to us as a family? Or to the government? And so the Bible was written to those four different groups. And God says here to Adam, because you've done this, you are going to have to work. You're going to have to work hard. Because the ground is not just going to be fertile. You drop a few seeds in, don't have to go back till it's ripe. That's not the way it works. There's only one crop that works that way. Anybody know what that crop is? Pumpkins. Pumpkins. You plant pumpkins and you never go back until it's ready to harvest them. The rest of the food, you got to till it, you got to weed it, you got to cultivate it, you got to water it, you got to take care of it. If you don't want it to be eaten up before you get there, you got to spray it. So the only crop that I know of that does not, where man can put the seeds in the ground and forget it till it's time to go harvest it, are pumpkins. Okay. They can grow in the weeds. So the woman was not the only one to have consequences as a result of the sin of man. The man was going to have to pay also. Whenever we sin, there's going to be some kind of a payment required. It may be in our relationship to God. It may be some consequence that we never anticipate. But there's always going to have to be some kind of a payment to cover our sin. Jesus Christ made a payment to cover all of our sin. And do you notice, I'm sure you do, I've mentioned it enough, that the man listened to his wife rather than God. And I want to remind everybody here this evening that many times you ladies have usurped God's authority as we think we have our minds made up, we men being men. Men listen to their wives in place of God sometimes. His Holy Spirit, for the same reason that Adam listened to Eve, works in our hearts. We want to get along with our wives because they live closer to our hearts than a God in heaven does. And so many times we do things and listen when we should be listening to the Holy Spirit. But that's just the way God made us to be. Now, the ground used to be ready to grow anything. Garden of Eden had all kinds of food growing for the people. But now, since sin entered into the world, man was going to have to struggle to keep ground ready to produce fruit. If you don't work your flower garden, what do you get? Weeds. If you don't work your vegetable garden, you get weeds. Now, you didn't plant those. Where'd they come from? The birds. They plant the weeds. Excuse me. Felt that one coming. So man was going to have to struggle with nature until the redemption of the creation. This is a promise that we have, folks. There is a day coming when God is going to redeem these old bodies. Up to then, they're going to hurt. They're going to sorrow. They're going to get sick. They're going to break down. But there is a day coming when we will be given new bodies that will be perfect. And we are going to be given a new world to live in, which will be just like the Garden of Eden. Flowers blooming here and there, you know, all kinds of vegetables and fruit. And have you ever wondered who in the world opened the first cantaloupe and found out it was edible? Yeah, watermelon, that's another good one, you know. You see a big round thing laying in a field. And I wonder who. Did it come from the early pioneers that came to this country? Did the Indians show them? I don't know. But God has given us so much good stuff. He's given us nuts. I love nuts. And he's given us trees to grow nuts, you know. walnut trees and pecan trees, yes. God did a great job. And he did that for us. So man was going to have to struggle with nature, and there would be other vegetation competing for the ground, thorns and thistles. They'd be predominating in man's effort to grow what was needed. Now, God gave man a purpose for existing. And this is very important. If man was going to eat, man was going to have to work. If man is going to eat, man is going to have to work. Man's going to have to hunt. Bambi's not off the table. Every time you eat a hamburger, somebody's mama has died in the way of a cow, and there's some calf without a mother. It's not all bulls that are making the hamburgers, okay? But one day, enjoy it while you can, because one day all that's going to be gone. So God gave man a purpose for existing. And if man was going to eat, he was going to have to work. In 2 Thessalonians 3:9 and 10, it says, not because we have power, but to make ourselves an example to you, follow us. This is Paul talking to the Thessalonian church. Paul, when he would go to a church, he wouldn't expect the church to take care of him. Now, you folks do a great job when we get missionaries in here and they present their work and you take up a love offering. You take care of them, and praise the Lord for that. You should. But Paul didn't do that back in the early days of the church. When Paul went to a church, Paul worked to provide for himself, to provide himself a place to stay, provide himself meals. He didn't expect the church to take care of it. At that time, there were no Baptist churches. Nobody knew what fried chicken was. Okay? But he worked. He worked as a tent maker. Remember, he talks about that, working with Ananias and Sapphira. And so Paul worked. And so they wanted to be an example. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, thus we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And that's God's principle. If you want to eat, you better be willing to work. And you better find some work. One thing God does not address is retirement. For each individual, the plan will be different. For some of you, you've put into retirement programs and you've looked forward to retirement. For some of us, we haven't done that. And so we made a deal with God that our retirement would involve a shovel to make a hole to get rid of the remains, okay? Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Without you ladies, there wouldn't be any human race. And if the human race is going to go on, it's going to be because of ladies. But Adam called his wife's name Eve. That was a reference to all living, including the Lord Jesus, who was to come through the Virgin Mary. In the Hebrew tongue, Eve means life giver. And that's the purpose of you women. You are the life givers of the human race. Now remember how I talked about some things that God says in his word with a simple statement, like he made the stars also. Like his creating the entire universe and all of space was just a hiccup in history, and he made the stars also. Verse 21 is one of those verses that speaks of a major event. that affects all of mankind, and yet it's not explained. And let's look at that verse, Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You know what that means? You know what that means for all of us? It means that he set the example for taking care of sin. He set the example that he would expect throughout all of the history of this world. No animal's going to sit still while you skin it. He had to shed the blood of some of his creation to cover their sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin of any kind. Nobody can get saved except for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only payment God will receive for our sins. And he set that example. This was actually a prophecy of what would come later in the history of the world when he killed those animals and clothed Adam and Eve. And the way he said it, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Do you realize what that's talking about? He forgave their sin. He covered their sin at that point so that he could go on and communicate with them, because he does. His communication with Adam and Eve ended when they sinned. And God had to make atonement for that. And so he did by sacrificing some of the creation. The thing that God did for Adam and Eve was to shed the blood of an animal. In this case, animals, multiple. So that he could make atonement for their sins. And they made them coverings for their bodies. Paul tells us a reason in the New Testament in Hebrews 10. Well, Hebrews 9, and almost, Hebrews 9, 22 through 28, and it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself. Often as a high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he most often have suffered from the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to use them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus Christ died for your sin, so that each one of us could have a relationship with God. And that is the only way we're going to have any kind of a relationship with God. God was establishing the price of sin when he killed those animals to clothe Adam and Eve. He established the principle at that time. In the Old Testament history, if a person sinned, what did they have to do? They brought a goat or a sheep or a lamb or an ox to the temple door. They put a pan down underneath it. They slit its throat that the blood might pour out of that animal until it died. And then that was their sin offering. That was then given to the priest. He would take it in, sprinkle it on the altar. And in many cases, if there was a burnt offering, he would burn the animal that had just been killed. Sin is a horrible thing to God, and we take it so lightly sometimes. But God cannot abide sin. And we are supposed to be living examples for others to see. God established the price of sin. Genesis 3, 22 through 24. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So in the Garden of Eden were two trees, the tree of life. Eating from it, and I don't know what its fruit looked like, but eating from it meant that someone would never die. They would live forever. Adam and Eve had a choice. And the serpent had a choice as to which tree he directed them to. He directed them to the tree that would result in their death. He didn't want them to have life. That was God's creation. And that was what the Lord, or what the devil, was trying to destroy. So instead of taking them to the tree of life, he took them to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The one tree God said you can't eat. God, as he talked to, I don't know if it was Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the angels, as he was talking to them, and it's recorded here in Genesis 3, 22 through 24, excuse me, he said, "So man won't go back in that garden and eat of that tree. And now that he's corrupt, live forever." God said, "I'm going to have to throw man out of the garden." So he did. And recently somebody asked me, "Well, what happened to the tree of life?" Well, the tree of life still exists. It does. Not on this earth. Not on this earth. The tree of life is in heaven, growing along the river that is up there, that flows out of the throne of God. And it says it's good for the healing of the nations. It's there. We will be able to eat of that in heaven. That's one of the things we're going to eat of. You can read all about it in Revelation chapter 22. But what happened to that tree of life? And somebody asked me, "Is it still here on the earth someplace? Can we find it? Can we eat of it?" And no, it's not here. What happens if you plant a garden? Let's say you put some really good seed out. You put out corn, you put out beans, and you put out cabbage and lettuce and tomatoes. What happens if you ignore that garden for years? You go back, and there's no tomatoes, there's no corn, there's no beans. It's all been choked out by the weeds of the world. And that's the same thing happened to the tree of life. When they abandoned the garden was left to grow up. And those things are not there right now. One day, when we are in heaven, we'll be able to see that tree and we'll be able to eat of that tree again. But it's not here. So don't go looking for it. Man had everything and he traded it for a comfortable relationship with his wife, rather than the relationship he had with God. And so when you think about that, we all have a relationship with God. Folks, don't trade it for anything in the world. Now, your helpmate might be the most wonderful thing in the world to you, but there is one thing that is more wonderful, and that's God. and his relationship that he wants to have with us. What God made to be good was taken over by the devil. Yeah, it was taken over. It was changed to be anything but good. Man has been sinning ever since. As we get into chapter 4, and that'll be next Sunday night, you will see that there was a seed planted by Adam when he obeyed his wife rather than God, and that seed is called a sin nature. We get it from our fathers. It does not come through our mothers. It comes through our fathers. That's why Jesus Christ was virgin born. So the sin nature would not be there. His father was the Holy Spirit, God, without sin. So if you're having a problem with sin, it's not your wife's fault. I've tried blaming her and she doesn't take the blame. It came from my father. And his came from his father, all the way back to Noah. Even Noah had a sin nature. And God selected him to be the one of 8 human beings who survived the flood. But he had a sin nature. He'd gotten it from Adam. So, everything was taken over by the devil. Disease and pain entered the world through the working of the devil in order to frustrate the purpose of God. Man's relationship with God would deteriorate to the point that it is today, where some men and women believe that they are God, that he does not exist anymore. In the very first generation of mankind, very first generation, the second generation actually, Adam and Eve's son, what's the thing we're going to see in chapter 4? We're going to see Adam, no, we're going to see Cain murdering his brother Abel. Boy, sin really progressed from disobeying God to murder. And any one of us, under the right circumstances, could also commit murder. The world changed. Rot came into the world. Decomposition began to come into the world. Bugs became pests. But man was still vegan at this point. It would not be until after the flood that man would enjoy his first ribeye steak, and we have been enjoying them ever since. Okay? So remember, in heaven, we're going to be vegan again. So if you like steak, you better get out there and eat all you can. And don't complain to me when you weigh 350 pounds, okay? Under that, in order that God could be sure that mankind would not eat or have access to the tree of life, man was driven out of the Garden of Eden. The tree of life was eventually moved to heaven. We read about it in Revelation 22, 1 and 2. If you want to turn over there for just a minute, we'll look at it. Revelation 22. Verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of it, of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. God made some fantastic things. Some of them are gone till we get back to the millennial reign of Christ. The sorrow that we all experience in this life is a result of Eve's sin. As her children, We experience the same kind of sorrow as she did. If you don't like it, men, blame the woman. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sharing with us the way things got started. Father, we would ask that your Holy Spirit would keep us strong, would keep us in the center of your divine will. And Father, we also ask that you will use us as instruments in your hand in this week to come, that we might share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those we come in contact with. Thank you, Father, for giving us the privilege of knowing Jesus and being used as a tool in your hand. Use us, and may we be profitable to your kingdom, and we will praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.